Parsha Shmini. The Parsha begins, Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini, and it was on the eighth day, Kara Moshe la'aron l'levono. Moshe called, he summoned to Aaron and his children, Ulazikne Yisrael, unto the elders of Yisrael. The Gemara in Megillah on Daf Yud tells us that the word Vayihi, Vav Yud He Yud, Vayihi.
Is it a sign of foreboding?
Or? You know everything. Zok the Gemara, Vayihi connotes a lashon of tsar, pain, anguish, something bad coming. Vayihi, Vayihi, me'achashveyosh. Bad things were going to happen. Vayihi. However, this assertion is problematic, because the pasuk says Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini. Over here, we're talking about something good. We can easily understand. It was the days of Achashverosh. We know the whole story, and it ended up being good for Klal Yisrael. But at that point, it didn't look very good. But over here, Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini. This is a wonderful time. Everything is wonderful. So why does it say Vayihi? Haloshen Atzar. I mean, it doesn't make sense. The Gemara says that Rabbeinu Shalom was overjoyed, ecstatic, on the day of the completion of the Mishkan, when the Mishkan was dedicated, the inauguration of the Mishkan, just as the Rabbeinu Shalom was at the creations of the Shemayim Va'aretz. That's how great this was. It was the Briyas Ha'olam, and it's in the inauguration of the Mishkan. However, there was a tzar. What was the tzar? It was a tragedy that occurred on the same day. We talk about it at length. People don't focus on the Parsha Shmini.
Aaron's sons.
Very good. Aaron's two children, Nadav and Avihu, died. And there was a tragedy. That was a tragedy. The Medrash Tanchuma says that for 7 days, Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan. Every day he built it and took it down. Day one, he built it, took it down. Day two, he built it, took it down. And for 7 days, he did this until the eighth day was the official inauguration of the Mishkan. Who did it? Aaron and his sons. Two questions. Number one, why did it say Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini? A famous question. It was on the eighth day. Until then, it was just practice. Moshe Rabbeinu was practicing Cain. He built it, he took it down. It was just practice days. This is the official inauguration right over here. This is it. This is opening day. So the Pasuk should say Vayihi b'yayim ha-rishon. This is the first day. It's first 7 days of just practice. So why does it say Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini? It's the first question. And aside from that, what are we supposed to learn from this concept that we have Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini? And it was on the eighth day. We just explained that Vayihi has a negative connotation generally, lashon of tzar. But over here, there's something good happening as well. So we have this going back and forth of Vayihi, and nonetheless it's good. Why is it specifically over here, Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini, that even though there's a tragedy, there's something good here as well? How do we, the dichotomy of having both the good and the bad, how do we deal with that? It says in the Psik de Zutrasa, Amar Rav Shimon bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yechon, Kol Mokom Shenema Vayihi, anytime it says in Lashon of Vayihi, Im Tzara, Ein Tzara Ki Yaitzeba. He says, anytime the lashon of Vayihi, he says, if Vayihi is in fact referring to a tzara, it's a horrible tzara. There's no tzara like that. Ein tzara ki yetzibah. And if it's a simcha, ein simcha ki yetzibah. There's no greater simcha. Vayihi, he says, the both ends of the spectrum. From very good, it's either very, very, very bad, or very, very, very good. Which it would seem here that it's very bad that the Klal Yisrael and Aaron HaKohen lost his two children. On the other hand, we said even the Rebbeinu Shalom was overjoyed to the extent like Briyas Ha'olam of Briyas Ha'olam of Shemayim Ba'aretz. Unbelievable. The Sefonah says, and it says in the Pasuk in Shemois, Kechol asher ani ma'ara yischa eis tavnis ha-mishkan ves tavnis kol kelo v'chein tasu. He says, he explains, the Sefon explains, you should know something. The Mishkan is a wonderful thing, and it's a place for the Hashras HaShchina. But the Sefon says, you know, it wasn't all good. What wasn't good? If Klal Yisrael never did the Chet HaEgel, had they never performed the Chet HaEgel, there would not have been a need for a Mishkan. The Shechina would have resided within each and every one of us. There would have been no need for a Mishkan. It was only after Klal Yisrael did the Chet, the terrible Chet HaEgel, that now there was a need for the Mishkan. So while the Mishkan was wonderful, it has something wonderful. It was a Mishkan, a place to Shechina. There's a little bit of a negative even within the positive, because if not for the Chet HaEgel, there would have been no need for it. Very interesting. The Dubna Magid, he says, there's an amazing, amazing pshat, the Dubna Magid. He explains what Vayihi, this Lashon of Tsar is. This is not just here, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini. Anytime it says Vayihi and Yiyah, Vahoyah, you should know this Yisrael of what the difference is of Vayihi and Vahoyah. Okay?
It's the same root.
Vayihi as and it was, Vahoyah is and it will be. That's okay? Now, Zakta Dubna Magid. The word Vayihi Talza connotes Tsar, while the word Haya is Simcha. So Vayihi is Tsar and Haya is Simcha. Let's keep it together. Now, he explains why is this in fact so. He said, Haya means it was. What is it was? Past tense. Something was. Haya! Haya Haibaviyah! Haya! It was. Okay? When you add a vav to the beginning of haya, vehaya, it makes it into future tense. And it will be. Haya is past tense. When you add a vav, it becomes vehaya, and it will be in the future tense. It says, when we have simcha, that's simcha. Vehaya is simcha. Haya is simcha. Why? When you add a vav, you make it into future, is something that's of simcha, we want it to continue. We want it to be in the future. That's what we want, and that's why Vahoya is simcha. He says, Yihi. What is Yihi? It will be. In the future tense. If you put a vav in the front of Yihi, what do you get? Vayihi, and it was. That's Tsar. So again, that is not to be too close, try to keep it simple. When you have this Haya, and Vahaya and Yiyah. Okay? Vayihi and Haya and Vahaya. So Vayihi, if you take the word without the vav, Yihi, that is future tense. Vayihi makes it past tense. What is that? Tsar. Tsar we want to keep in the past. That's why that's past. That's why that's Vayihi. It turns into past tense and it's Tsar. Haya is the exact opposite. Haya is initially, Haya means was, and when you put a vav in front of it, it's Vehaya, future tense, and that's Simcha that we want. A little bit complicated, but it's a beautiful, beautiful pshat from the Dubna Magid. The Be'ach Moshe says, the day of the Hakamas HaMishkan of this Vayihi Bayom HaShmini was like the day of Shemayim and Aretz. He says, how so? What does that mean? Okay, the Gemara tells us that, fine. What does that mean? The Medrash tells us, it says in Bereishis Rabba, that the Ribbono Shel Olam, before creating the world that we are currently in, he created many, many worlds, and then destroyed it. That's what you say. Now don't think Chas V'Shalom, the Ribbono Shel Olam couldn't make it perfect the first time, and he kept on practicing until it was perfect. Chas V'Shalom.
Right.
But it's a yisayis for us to learn of a concept of, for a davarish of a kedusha, you need preparation. So too over here, Vayihi Bayom HaShmini, it was on the eighth day, not on the first day. Even though this was the main part, it seems like. This is the final world. Vayihi Bayom HaShmini is the final. But the first 7 days also count. That was the preparation. Moshe Rabbeinu, every day, building and taking down, and building and taking down, and building and taking down. Every day, that was a preparation. To have a davarship of Kedusha, you just can't just fly in. You have to prepare for it. And that's an unbelievable yisoy that he says that's the same thing over here. Vayihi Bayom HaShmini is compared to the creation of Shemayim Ba'aretz, because Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael learned the lesson that for davarship of Kedusha you have to prepare for it. It says in the Beis Avraham, these are the two madregas of Shabbos Kodesh. There's one madrega called Shvi, the seventh day, and there's one that's called Shabbos. Vayichal alekim b'yayim hashvi, and then it says vayishpach b'yayim hashvi, vayivorach alekim b'yayim hashvi. You won't see when we don't see when it talks about in the beginning of Briyas Olam, you keep on seeing Shvi. Everything is Shvi, 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 not Shabbos. The whole thing over here, and does not kivay Shabbos. It has loshonis of Shabbos, but doesn't say Shabbos. Keeps on saying it's Yom Hashvi, the seventh day. Where do we see with the concept of Shabbos? The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that matana toive yeshli beis ginozai. The Rebbeinu Shlomo told Klal Yisrael, I have a tremendous, a wonderful gift that's in my storehouse, and what is it? Shabbos Shema, and Shabbos is what it's called. When the Rebbeinu Shalom gave Klal Yisrael, in the beginning of creation, there wasn't this, it was still a level of Kedusha, but not the same level as what we got Shabbos. He says it's a much greater level. At Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Rebbeinu Shalom said he has a great present, and that's when we got it. After the Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's when we got this Matan HaTeva. Shvi is a level of Kedusha Shabbos that pertains to the world at large. Shabbos of Shmini, Ayi Bayim Shvi, but we call it, it's one level above, even though it's the seventh day of the week, but you count 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, seventh day is Kedusha, and Shmini is the one level above called Shabbos. Not the eighth day of the week, there's only 7 days in the week, but it's called Shabbos, and that's the Yom Shmini. It is complete Kedusha of the world above. We say in the Zmiris, Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i Karoloi, in the Leil Shabbos, some people will sing this, one who's Mekadesh Shvi'i will get what he's deserving. Kol Shomer Shabbos, if someone is Shomer Shabbos, not Shvi'i, Kol Mekadesh Shvi'i, if one is Mekadesh Shvi'i Karoloi, he'll get Schar because he's being Mekadesh Shvi'i, the level, the lower level of Shabbos. I will call Shomer Shabbos, but if someone is Shomer, he heeds Shabbos, the higher level, Schorei Harbei Meyor, he gets even more Schar, not just what's worthy and what he's entitled to, but he gets even more. It says it's tremendous, you say even more Kedusha. That's what Vayhi Bayim Shmini of after you prepare for it. You need, how do you get to this level of Shmini, of Shabbos? You can't just walk into Shabbos. That doesn't work. That's maybe if you heed Shabbos and you don't do any Averis and you don't Mechal Shabbos, so you're on the level of Shvi'i. But to want to get to the level of Shmini, of the level of Shabbos, not Shvi'i, but Shabbos. So perhaps with all this we can understand that. Have a little bit of an understanding. What is this? Vayihi b'yayim ha-shmini. And it was on the eighth day. We have the dichotomy of the bad and the good. Preparation is something that is necessary. It's an integral ingredient for Kedusha. Kedusha doesn't come just like that. You need to prepare for it. Before one does a mitzvah, before one learns Torah, if you're just going to say, I just learn it up, that's not it. You have to prepare for it. What am I doing? I'm doing it because the Ratzon Hashem. That's why I'm doing it. The Lashon of Vayihi, we explained, is either great Tzara or great Simcha. What does that mean? That means is that we have time in this world. We have a set amount of time. We can take that and we can make it into the greatest Simcha, or we can make it into the greatest Tzara. Nadav and Avihu made a fundamental mistake. They went and they brought the fire that they shouldn't have, or many, many different pshatim. They might have meant well, but they jumped the gun. Bottom line is they jumped the gun. There was no preparation. They didn't prepare properly. For Dovah Shebekdusha, you have to prepare. The eighth day was inauguration. Why was it called the eighth day? Because that's part of the Kedusha. Don't think, it's not just to be nice to Moshe Rabbeinu that the first 7 days we're also going to count it. No! How did you get here? You can't get, this can't be by Hibayim HaRishon, because if you didn't have the first 7 days, you wouldn't have this. And therefore, this is not the first day, but this is the eighth day. They all count. And this is something that we have to work on, that if we work on ourselves to come into Shabbos, prepare for Shabbos, not running into shul the last second, running into Shabbos, but preparing for Shabbos, coming in calmly to Shabbos, perhaps saying Shir Shirim before davening, if you have time, if you don't, but at least to come in, not running in last second, and maybe being Masal Shabbos, and maybe not, and she is coming, and still lighting candles, and turning on lights, no preparation, you're missing, you definitely can't get to this level of Shmini of Shabbos, something that we all have to strive for. Had a Maisa. There was once a very, very wealthy man. Very wealthy. And he had a friend who lived in the neighborhood. Very poor man. He had nothing. And they were friends, you know, on some level. And the poor man is one day talking to the rich man, and he says, "Ah, it's my dream if I can live your life, even just for a few days. Few days." Rich man says, "Really? That's your dream?" He says, "Yep." Rich man says, "You know what? In 6 months from now, I'm going to Taiwan. I'm flying away far, somewhere very far. I don't know where he's flying, but somewhere very far. I'm going to be away for 3 days. So how about this? I'm going to leave the country. I'm not going to tell anyone that I'm leaving. I'm going to get on a plane, my own private jet. No one will know that I left. And you'll take my spot. You'll go to all my meetings. You'll do everything for me. You're going to take over for me. For 3 days, you'll know what it feels to be me." Okay. 6 months comes and goes. And all of a sudden, a car, a big limousine comes to pick up the poor man by his ass. "Let's go, get in." He says, "Wait, who, man? The rich man is leaving. You're the rich man now. Let's go, get in." Doesn't know what to do. He gets into the car. He gets pulled up to the big palace of the rich man. He goes inside. And the rich man says, "Okay, I'm leaving now. All the best." He says, "You look like garbage. Didn't you prepare? Didn't you get yourself a suit? You look like, I mean, you look like a poor man. You're being me. You gotta... I forgot. Okay, you know, the rich man quickly goes into his closet, looks for some clothes that look similar. Okay, pulls out something. This, you know, jacket's too big on him. His sleeves are coming all the way down. The pants, everything. He just looks like, you know, a really funny guy. But the rich man says, "Okay, I gotta go. Take care. I'll see you in 3 days." Rich man gets on his plane, flies off. All of a sudden, he hears a honk limousine. "Let's go, let's go. We got a meeting. We got a big event. We got a big dinner we're going to. You're the guest speaker in an hour." They throw him into the car. They fly him over there in the car. And he gets out, and they put him on the dais. You have this guy sitting there. He looks like a schlump. His sleeves are too big. Everything is just hanging on him. And they call him, and they announce him up, and they say, "Okay, and our guest, honored speaker, to say a few words." He gets up there. He looks around. "Thanks for coming. Yeah." And everyone starts snickering, and the place is all laughing. They're all laughing at him. And he just sits down. He's all embarrassed.
He doesn't know what to say.
And he doesn't know what to say. And then he comes out. He gets back into his limousine, and they pull him over. And of course, we're talking about in the story where the people don't know what the rich man looks like. It's not in today's day where everyone knows exactly what everyone looks like, and you can't fool anyone. They didn't know what he looked like, the rich man. They thought this was the rich man. They introduced himself as the rich man. And all of a sudden, he gets pulled in. They drive him off to a meeting in a fancy restaurant. He's sitting with the biggest businessmen in the country and talking about revolving credit and debts. And they say, "So what do you think, Mr. Rich Man?" He's like, "Revolver door? Yeah, it's a gun or something, right?" They're like, "What?" And everyone starts laughing at him again. And this goes on for 3 days. And the rich man comes back and says, "So, buddy, how was it? You got to be the rich man for 3 days." The poor man says, "It was horrible. Everyone was laughing at me. Everyone was making fun of me. Wherever I went, there were snickers and people laughing. It's horrible to be rich." Rich man's like, "You're a fool. I told you 6 months ago that you were going to take over. Don't you think you should have done a little research? Gone and went to the library and looked up what I do, so you should be intelligent, know what I'm involved in, know myself, do a little bit, you know, I didn't prepare." If you would have prepared, you would have appreciated every second. All the respect you would have gotten, all the covet, everything, you would have been the king. But because you didn't prepare, you're right, it was horrible. You looked like a fool, and everyone was talking, laughing at you. We have to prepare. This life, this world is a time of preparation. We have to prepare for the next world. We can't just say, "Okay, I'm going to run into Shabbos. I'm going to run to do mitzvahs." We have to prepare. Preparation is an integral part of Yiddishkeit and of following the Torah. A little bit later in the parasha, the pasuk says, "Ve'yom Moshel Aaron hu asher diber Hashem lemor bekrovei kodesh al pnei kol om echovei ve'idem Aaron." Moshe said to Aaron, "Of this that Hashem speaks, saying, I will be mikdash, I will be sanctified to those who are nearest to me, and I will be honored before the entire people." And Aaron was silent. As we said earlier, this is Aaron finding out that his two children were brought in Eish Zara before the Baruch Shalom, and they were not commanded to do so. That was in two psukim before, and fire came and consumed them. So the pasuk says, so when Aaron heard this, he was silent. He didn't say anything. Vayidem Aaron. Vayidem. And he was silent. Rashi says that Aaron was rewarded for being silent. And what is the next parasha? It tells us about the wine and the oil moed, and it was said only to Aaron. Aaron's reward was, there was no Moshe Rabbeinu, it was strictly to Aaron, a Kohen, the parasha of the Yayin, Minigeya, the oil moed. Question is, what's so great about Vayidem Aaron, number one? And number two, why specifically this reward? He got a reward. Bernishon has Chesh Bernish for his reward. He didn't just give him a new bike. He gave him that the next parasha was told directly and only to him. What's the pshat? The Gur Aryeh says that Aaron was silent after Moshe acknowledged that his children were Taka Kedoshim. Had the Torah not written what Aaron's response was, one would have assumed that he was silent. Why does the Torah tell us specifically? You would have assumed that. The Torah doesn't say he screamed. You would have assumed he was silent. Why does it say it? The Torah tells us explicitly to tell us that he got reward. The Gurai is explaining, Maral is explaining Rashi. How does Rashi know he got the reward? He knew he got the reward because the Torah said Vayidem Aaron. Otherwise, why does it tell us? It's telling us because he got reward for it. The Gura says, and the Medrash Pliya, the Medrash says Vayidem Aaron, and he connects Vayidem Aaron to Isha Kisazriya Vayol of Tamash Rasyam. Aaron was silent, and when a woman conceives, she becomes Tamei for 7 days after she gives birth. Affect the going. What is the connection between the Vayidem Aaron, Aaron being quiet, and Isha becoming Tamei? So the going quotes the Gemara in the Nida and the Flamed Aleph. Why is the Bris Milah performed on the 8th day? Why isn't the Bris Milah done on the 1st day, 10th day? Zup the going, because for 7 days an Isha is coming. Her husband is not allowed to be with her. The Torah wants it that even when there shouldn't be that everyone is happy. In other words, you go to a Bris Milah and it's a festive event, but the father and the mother of the baby, she's the wife is Tamei, and if his wife is Tamei, so it's not complete happiness. So therefore, the Torah says, wait till the 8th day, and the 8th day, midiraisa, she could have become Tara already. Excuse me. And therefore, everyone will be happy. Zok the Goyim. The Pasuk is telling us, Vayidem Aaron. Aaron could have said, listen, Bansha, I understand that maybe it was time that they did something wrong, maybe they deserve to die. Okay, I'm not the one to judge. But why are you doing it now? This is the big happy day. It's Akamas HaMishkan, Klal Yisrael, the Rebbeinu Shlomo, everyone's thrilled. Why would you kill them today? You do, even by Nida, even by when not Nida, but even what the Gemara Nida says, even when a child is born, you wait till the 8th day for the Bris Milah so that everyone should be happy. But technically you're making me sad. My children are dead. Two of my children just died. Vayidem Aaron. Aaron was silent. Didn't question the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Didn't have that time to the Rebbeinu Shlomo. The Ramban says, initially Aaron cried out loudly, and then he was quiet. The Chassam Sofer explains, don't think Chas V'Shalom that he cried out in a protest. It wasn't that. Don't think, oh, he was protesting. Oh, he cried out. But he cried out initially because he thought it was his fault. You know why Aaron cried out? Not because he was sad. He felt he cried out because he thought he was the cause. Aaron HaKohen was part of the Egel. He didn't want to. We know the Pshatim. But the mice of Aaron HaKohen, they came to him to build the Egel. And he was instrumental part of building the Egel. And he thought because he did that, even though it was a Shem Shemayim, it was his fault that his children died. That's why he cried out. Moshe Rabbeinu told him, no, that's not the reason why. And then Vayidem Aaron. So even according to the Chassam Sofer explaining the Ramban, that even the Ramban wasn't saying is that he cried out in protest, but to protest what happened, but rather it was because he thought he was the cause, and when he realized he wasn't the cause, he was quiet. And the Sephardim says that Aaron was, he had a nechama, he was consoled with the Kiddush Hashem that came about through his children's death. There was a nechama. The Chofetz Chaim says, why did the Pasuk say Vayacharesh? Vayacharesh means silent. Vayidoy means like an inanimate object. A daimim. We call it as a daimim. It's a meach. A daimim is an inanimate object. Vayidoy Ma'aron, the Chofetz Chaim says, is that he was didn't make a sound, but you couldn't even tell on his face. He was inanimate. He didn't move. You don't look at him and say, oh, he's not yelling, but look at him. Oidim Aaron. The Pasuk is teaching us that he was happy, he was 100% accepting of what the Ibn Hashem did. The Nachal Kidumim says, what is the connection between Aaron being silent and the son standing still in the days of Yeshua? The Mezra says, "V'idim Aaron v'yadam Hashemesh kinhu b'Misera." He said, "Quotes in Misera." The Zayin Pasha V'Yakal says there was a condition at the time of the creation of the world that the son has to stand still for Yeshua. There was a condition in the creation of the world. There are times that a person cannot speak or cry because of tremendous anguish that befalls him. He's just so overwhelmed. He can't speak, he can't cry, he can't laugh, he can't do anything. He's just overwhelmed. One could have thought that's the reason why Aaron was quiet. You want to know why he didn't matter? Not because he was accepting what the Ibn Hashem did, but because he was overwhelmed. I mean, his two sons just died in a flame of fire from the Ibn Hashem, and he just couldn't. He was too weak. So the Chazal tell us that his silence was the same as the sun standing still. Just as the sun was still to be mekayim the gzeirah of the Ibn Hashem, the sun didn't move, because that was the gzeirah of the Ibn Hashem, and it was done joyfully, the sun did it, the shamash did it joyfully, so too, Aaron HaKohen, he was joyful when he did it. It wasn't by Yidem Aaron that he was just overwhelmed and he didn't know what to do, but for care he did it with thought and understanding. Rabbi Yehuda says, we learn the proper derech eretz from Aaron HaKohen. Even when one is chas v'sholom, afflicted with terrible yisurim, one should not cry out against Hashem. He has to accept it with love. Even when one is afflicted with terrible, terrible yisurim, that's something that has to be worked on. They say in Maisa, from a Tzipa Yisach Frank, he lost a daughter. When he lost the daughter, they said immediately he went over to learn. He sat and they learned the Gemara for an hour. And then he came and he sat Shiva. And they said, what are you doing? I mean, it was after the Leviah. They said, what are you doing? What is going on? Why are you learning? Everyone knows that during Avelis, you're not allowed to learn. It's also to learn. You must take out a Gemara, you're not allowed to help Avelis, but that's it. So why did you learn? He says he was, he's a human being. He was a little bit distraught. He had to go learn Torah so he can accept the Yisurin that the Ibn Hashem sent upon him, and then he was able to sit Shiva. So we're talking about high level here. Aaron HaKohen, Tzipa Yisach Frank is, we're human beings, but you have to, he accepted it with love. The Shlach HaKadosh says, everyone should learn from Aaron that one should not be disgusted or upset by the musta that he sees from Hashem, rather he has to accept it with ahava. The Menorah Samori says, as a reward for the great anivus which Aaron displayed, he was Zeichet Ben Klai Yisrael, Birchus Kehanim, which has 60 letters, the Gematria of Vayidim. Meshach Gadol says each person has to teach himself to be a daimon and to be moided to each and every midah of the Ibn Hashem, whether it's good or bad. Everything is done with din and mishpat. Some Sefer says Aaron was silent. What should he have said? What do you want him to say? The Medrash Yalkut Shemayni says in Eiv, when a man lost his two children, his wife comforted him by saying, his wife came to him, he didn't know about it, his wife knew about it first. His wife told him, the owner of the object that we were entrusted with returned to retrieve his object. That's the way she told him. We were the Zeicha to have these children, that we got something, and you should know that we lost two of them now. That's it. It's a paladin. That you have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for what you have. Even Hashem and Nosan, Hashem and Lokach, Hishem Hashem Averet. There are times that people lose things and they mourn over it. But you have to instead be thankful for what you had until then. Don't focus on the loss now. That's a cheshbon, but you have to realize what you had and thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for what you had. Perhaps now we can understand the great deed that Aaron performed. And why specifically? Why specifically there was Yizayichat and Nevuah? He was the one, not Nevuah, he was the one that was told the next parasha of Yayin. Something terrible happened to Aaron. He lost two of his children. Not only did he not complain, but even if one looked at his face, it would not be apparent that a tragedy befell him. His face was like a doimim, like an inanimate object, showing no anguish at all. The reason that Aaron was able to achieve this was because he accepted the Xavier with a Hava. Although a great tragedy seemed to have occurred, he remained besimcha. We know the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that how could you have the Shekhinah rest on you? Only if you're besimcha. You want to know what Aaron's great reward was right after this whole Maisa? The Rebbeinu Shlom came only to him and told him about the Yayin. That was the Rai he was besimcha, because if he was sad, if he would have been even slightly sad about losing his two children, he would not have gotten the Nevuah, he would not have gotten, the Shechina would not have come to him. We know Yaakov Avinu, when he thought that Yosef was not alive, the Shechina did not come to him. So then why is Aaron Zeicha specifically that the very next parasha should be given only to him to show that he was Zeicha to it? Because he was Besimcha. We have to learn a tremendous lesson from this, from Aaron HaKohen, that we always have to try to be Besimcha. There are times that things befall us, there are times that things look bad, they look bleak, but we have to realize that the Rebbeinu Shlom has a cheshbon for everything, we have to accept everything, and the only proper way to serve the Rebbeinu Shlom is through Simcha. Have a good chance.